Oh boy, here's a new smartphone hack going around ruining lives. And more coming up on today's episode of Lays and Tech News. Hey Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is Lays and Tech News. My name is Taylor Merrick, and if you're new here, hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss out. We do this on the weekday. But hold off on that like button until you get to a section of the show that you actually like. And by section, I mean news article. And by news article, I mean whatever I'm talking about that you happen to like. Follow that up with a like button, because that really means a lot here, at least on YouTube. And seeing as how there is stuff to like, well, this isn't so much to like, but like for the news for awareness sake. There's currently a trivia cell phone hack going around and ruining lives. We'll be taking a look at two such lives who, man, between $25,000 and $100,000 were stolen right out from their bank accounts. We'll be getting more into that for the feature story today. We'll also be taking a look at researchers teleporting information within a diamond. Yes, it is possible. We'll get into that. And finally, we'll be looking at, well, your Google Home. Did you know that it can make phone calls? Well, here's how you do it. So with that, before we get into the show that we have laid out for today, I wanted to let you know this is a Friday special, and simply I have other conflicts going on today, so I'm not able to get a full show out. So I'll just condense it into the good parts, just cover a couple of highlighted items, and have you guys go on your way a little bit shorter. And because it's Friday, I figure, hey, why not? Just shorten up the show a little bit, give you guys the opportunity to go out and enjoy the summer weather while we have it, unless you live in Canada or the North or South Poles, in which case, hopefully it's a good weekend for you and you're able to enjoy it outside without freezing. I don't know how. I grew up in Wisconsin. I only know so much as the seasons allow me to. I don't know how much different the temperature is elsewhere. I should probably stop talking before I get myself into trouble. So, yeah, shorter news cycle that we have for today, but figured I'd get the news out. So I don't know why I call it a Friday special. There's nothing really special about it, albeit it's shorter. So if you think I should maybe dub this a new name instead of calling it the Friday special, I'd love to hear what you guys think. Let me know in the comment section. Just drop a comment. Or if you're listening to this via the podcast, let me know on Twitter. We are at Tech News Gadget. So with that out of the way, let's get right into it. All right, moving right into today in tech history, being that today is June 28th, 2019. On this day in 1965, IntelSat 1, the first commercial communications satellite, is activated for service. It was nicknamed Early Bird after the famous proverb and became famous for carrying the first commercial telephone call between America and Europe, as well as helping provide TV coverage of the Gemini 6 splashdown. So all important stuff to know. Also on this day in 1955, the HMTS Monarch, the largest cable laying ship in the world at this time, launches from Clarenville, Newfoundland to begin laying TAT-1, the first transatlantic telephone cable. TAT-1 would be inaugurated 15 months later on September 25th, 1956. It may be the best known for carrying the famous hotline between the United States and the Soviet Union during the Cold War. Also, on this day in history, in 1974, Vannevar Bush dies. He was a mathematician, scientist, and a computer pioneer. He died on this day. He was born in Everett, Massachusetts on March 11th, 1890. For those of you wondering, who was this guy? Does he have any relation to the Bush family? You know, the presidents in politics here, at least in the U.S.? Not quite sure. Never really looked more into that. I think it might be distant relation. But what does this have to do with computers and technology? Well, he was deeply involved with wartime computer projects. He invented an electromechanical differential analyzer before the war. All key important stuff to, well, furthering electronics and technology to the point where it is today. A lot of it came out of stuff made during wartime, which really pushed a lot of progression forward, because we kind of needed to figure out, how do we do this? How do we do that? So there you go. With that out of the way, let's head on over to today's feature story. And feature indeed. Well, there's a trivial cell phone hack going around and ruining lives. This is a personal security red alert, so you want to keep an ear out. This is a rare couple of cases, but don't consider it uncommon or yourself safe. Just keep that in mind. We'll have a couple ideas here on how to go through this. By the way, if you're interested in reading the articles mentioned in today's show, head on over to technewsgadget.net, and there you can read all the articles. We'll have a link in the description for today's video, and if you're listening via podcast, the links are right there in the show notes for your reading pleasure. So, it begins. On a Tuesday night in May, Sean Kuntz was reading news in bed when his cell phone service dropped. He chalked it up to being tech, and went to sleep. Now, when he woke up, his Gmail account had been stolen, and by Wednesday evening, he was out $100,000. This is still very raw. I haven't even told my family yet, Kuntz wrote in an anguished Medium post. I can't stop thinking about the small, easy things I could have done to protect myself along the way. Also, on a Monday night in June, Matthew Miller's daughter woke him up to say that his Twitter account had been hacked. He had no cell phone service, and within a few days, Miller lost his Gmail and Twitter account and $25,000 from his family bank account. Now, in Miller's case, the attacker deactivated all of his Google services, deleted all of his tweets, and blocked most of his 10,000 followers. Once he got his phone number back from the hacker, T-Mobile let the hacker steal it a second time. So much so that, quote, I've been considering changing my bank account number, social security number, and other accounts that are critical to living and working in the U.S., he wrote in a post. I'm also freaked out about using cloud services, so my strategy at the moment is writing my passwords down on paper and leaving everything else off the cloud. See, before you get all concerned, and this isn't something trying to be all passe about it, both men were victims of SIM swap attacks, where someone uses pieces of personal information to convince your cell phone provider to transfer or port your number and associated phone account to a device in the attacker's possession. Now, with control of your phone number and account, they proceed to break into all connected accounts, usually beginning with email. The attacker changes info in your account so you can't get them back, sets up email forwarding in case you gain control of your email, and goes through all your cloud stored documents looking for things of value. Now, this is a uniquely personal and invasive attack. Thanks to Kuntz and Miller, we now know a lot more about how these attacks are done and how terrible the destruction is. In Miller's case, we learned how unhelpful T-Mobile, Google, and Twitter were. With both Twitter and Google, Miller was stuck in one heck of filling out online account recovery forms and sending them off into an abyss of automated responses, waiting, hoping, praying anybody human would respond. And for those wondering, Miller also used two-factor text and SMS as an extra layer of security for his accounts. But with his phone technically out of his hands, it really didn't matter. It's kind of concerning. Miller eventually recovered his accounts, but only because he is special. In both articles about his experience, Miller mentions his well-connected friends at both companies who helped help him out, as well as leveraging his platforms as a tech journalist. Now, this is both sobering and problematic, as few regular users have this kind of privilege and access. Like, you're probably wondering right now, what in the world would happen if this happened to you? Engadget reached out to both Twitter and Google for comment, did not receive a response from Twitter by time of publication. According to Google, victims of account hijacking should fill out this claim form. There's a link to it. The company also posted information to mitigate SIM swap attacks and hijacks in this brief October 2018 post about updates to Google's security checkup process and sign-in security. Google also indicated that SIM swapping will not compromise a Google account that is protected by two-step verification, namely a Google prompt or Google authenticator or non-SMS two-factor method like a YubiKey. Furthermore, Google said that one of those options, like a YubiKey, is an option only if the attacker knows the victim's password. Google recommends Google Prompt or Google Authenticator with physical keys as the strongest form of two-factor. Google also said that SIM swap attacks are rare and confined to specific targets, and that most people don't need two-factor stronger than SMS. Needless to say, Google's email is a confusing response to the details you learned in a SIM swap attack and account hijacks experienced by Kuntz and Miller. And, well, for one, saying that people are fine with SMSs or two-factor, most people shouldn't worry about SIM swap attacks is a little bit conservative to feel like safe advice, especially when you're hearing the context of two important things. First, that we're hearing about SIM swaps more than ever and only from high-profile techies. We won't hear about what's happening to regular people. And secondly, there's a big breach which likely made an attack typically considered a high-effort targeted attack into a much easier way to grab cash and steal accounts. You see, the T-Mobile data breach was actually a big deal. Kuntz uses AT&T, while Miller uses T-Mobile and Google Fi. The SIM porting process for both networks has terrifyingly minimal security. Both companies had customer PINs exposed for an unknown amount of time in 2018, and T-Mobile suffered a fairly recent breach of all the info anyone needs to do a SIM swap attack. According to AT&T documentation, all that is required for transfer is the information one could find on a recent cell phone bill. Account number, name of the account holder, billing address, and a PIN or password if applicable, noting that the minimal billing info is all that's required if someone can't remember their PIN or password. Now, it's the same for a T-Mobile transfer, just info on a bill, though they don't state if a password or PIN is required at all. At this point, I'm going to pause and mention, make sure to shred your phone billing documents or store them in a safe place. So, in August of 2018, in case you don't remember, T-Mobile was hacked and the billing information of 2.5 million customers was stolen. The company reassured press by stating that no financial data was compromised, but I bet that wasn't really the point. It was just all that juicy billing information, with attackers using that to get way, way more by SIM porting and stealing people's phone numbers and accounts. The day after T-Mobile's breach news, a researcher discovered that all T-Mobile and AT&T customer account PINs had been sitting there for an unknown amount of time exposed by website flaws. Now, obviously, the SIM porting process at both companies should have been made more secure a long time ago. Why in the world are you guys dropping a ball here? But it became even more urgent for T-Mobile to do so after their massive breach, yet they didn't, and here we are. So, the article goes on to say more security mistakes were made. So be careful with what you sacrifice in terms of convenience for logging in or having something in the cloud remember it for you, because that could get compromised. Be very careful, be very wary. So, I don't know. You guys kind of concerned by this? I'm a little bit concerned by it. I don't hopefully have to worry about it too much. In my case, I don't use either companies for either purpose. Not to say that the companies that I'm with could have that problem down in the road on the future. Hopefully not. Could you, first off, gonna keep this in mind for myself and hopefully beneficial for you too as well. Careful how much you're trading over for convenience. That could be a hard step that you want, or a hard lock that you want, so that you physically have to enter your password that only you know in, instead of the convenience of having stuff remembered for you. Also, if you get a phone bill in the mail and you don't store it, shred it. And finally, this one's out to all of the phone providers out there. Can you please step up your security if you're going to do a SIM swap? Please step that up. And if you're concerned about what the SIM swapping is, I think a lot of it has to do with you wanting to keep your phone or your information, but you have to swap between carriers because you're going from one carrier to another. Don't. Stay with one stinking carrier, and if you don't like them, here's what you do. Burn the phone, buy a new phone, buy a new number, and start over again. And don't make the mistake of getting, duped by some cell phone companies, because there's really only 2-3 companies that actually provide the coverage and the features that you need. It's all quite standard across the board, all quite standard in terms of cost. So please, do your due diligence and use who would best cover your area in terms of living, working, and your general area of travel. So, with that being said, I'd love to hear your thoughts, so let me know down in the comment section down below. Yeah, kind of scary, but something to be aware of. Alright, so you wanted to know, Was that like a typo on the title that I said? Researchers teleporting information within a diamond? Nope. It actually happened. Researchers from the Yokohama National University have teleported quantum information securely within the confines of a diamond. Yep, it happened. The study has big implications for quantum information technology, the future of sharing and storing sensitive information. Researchers published their results today in Communications Physics. Quantum teleportation permits the transfer of quantum information into an otherwise inaccessible space, said Hideo Kosaka, a professor of engineering at Yokohama National University and author on the study. It also permits the transfer of information into a quantum memory without revealing or destroying the stored quantum information. The inaccessible space in this case consisted of carbon atoms in a diamond, made of linked yet individually contained carbon atoms. A diamond holds the perfect conditions for quantum teleportation. A carbon atom holds 6 protons and 6 neutrons in its nucleus, surrounded by 6 spinning electrons. As the atoms bond into a diamond, they form a notably strong lattice, so kind of securely. However, diamonds can have complex defects, such as when a nitrogen atom exists in one of 2 adjacent vacancies where carbon atoms should be. They're all excited because apparently the diamond provided what they call a nano magnet. And then what they did is, well, they created the optimal controlled conditions for the transfer of quantum information within the diamond. And then they did it. And the article goes on to explain more about it. I don't understand really much about quantum computers, quantum physics, quantum mechanics, everything that goes into it. It's actually all quite impressive, but by far definitely a little bit into the sci-fi realm. But I love kind of bringing these articles out every so often just to say, hey, keep an eye out. This is going to be something important down the road. It's going to take a lot of research to get up to that point. But the steps that they are making seem to be moving in the right direction, albeit slowly. Although, you really expect them to move any faster? I mean, you're trying to figure out something you have no idea about. So it's going to take you a while to figure that out. But once you figure it out, it seems to have like a snowball effect. Once you slowly figure this out, and you figure this out, and you figure this out, it just starts snowballing in upon itself. And then the advances become faster and faster until you finally go, think new technology. And then we wind up with the iPhone X. Or what was that? I don't know, some cool advanced piece of technology that like breaks within a year and a half. Oh, that's right. If you made a good product, make it durable enough to last. Thank you, Apple, for the reminder. I was trying to go for a joke there, but it completely failed. Feel free to yell at me in the comments. Could we go on to the last article? All right, some gadget news. Do you have a Google Home? Well, did you know that you can make phone calls using it? Yep, it's true. Here's what you need to know. So you can use Google Home, Google's smart speaker with Google Assistant built in to place phone calls. And since Google's home phone calls use an internet technology called VoIP, voice over IP, rather than a cell phone service, it doesn't affect your smartphone's cellular voice plan at all. All you need is an internet connection. So here's everything you need to know about making phone calls with Google Home. It's actually quite simple. So for most users, they're Google Home will be ready to make phone calls without any extra setup. Here are a few ways you can start a call. Start by saying, OK Google or Hey Google, and then call name. You can call anyone in your Google contact list by name as long as they have a phone number attached to their contact listing. Call business name. Google Home can look up the name of a business and place the call, or call phone number. Google will dial a number that you speak out loud. All pretty impressive. I have a feeling this has to do with your integrated Android device, so it may work on iOS. I don't know, we'll see. But when you're done with the phone call conversation, say okay Google and end the call by saying stop, hang up, or end call. You can also tell Google Home to redial the most recent call with okay Google redial. So here's how to set the number that appears when Google Home places a call. By default, and I know you're probably wondering this at this point because you're like, well, it's not attached to like my phone number, so you're probably going to be like, who the heck is this? By default, Google Home calls appear with no caller ID, which, while especially with the deluge of robocalls we're subjected to these days, some people might consider suspicious and ignore. Now, to remedy that, you can configure Google Home calls to show your personal caller ID number. So here's how you do that. Step 1, start the Google Home app on your phone. Number 2, in the bottom right corner, tap the account icon. Number 3, tap settings. Then at the bottom of the page, more settings. It looks like they have a photo that goes along with it here. Yes, if you're wondering, this isn't just a podcast. This is a video. You can be watching it on youtube.com/technewsgadget. Right now, we got videos that go along with it. So it shows that. And then number 4, tap the services tab at the top of the more settings page. Then tap voice and video calls. Tap mobile calling. On a calls on speakers page, tap your own number. And then tap add or change phone number. It shows it here. Finally, enter your phone number and tap verify at the top right of the page. And it'll see add your phone number so those you're calling can recognize you. And then when you get that text with the verification code, enter it. And there you go. Now, you might be wondering, how are your phone calls from Google Home different than from Amazon Echo? You might be aware that, yeah, you can also make calls with Alexa, the personal assistant on Amazon Echo devices, but the two kinds of calling from Google Home and Amazon Echo are somewhat different. Google Home places calls to other phones, both mobile and landline. The smart speaker can place a call to any phone in the US or Canada. Because Google Home doesn't have its own phone number, however, it cannot receive calls. It makes outgoing calls only. Amazon Echo can do that as well. You can use it to make calls directly to phones from your contacts or by speaking the phone number. But unlike Google Home, the Echo has the ability to make Alexa to Alexa calls, letting you call someone else's Alexa device. Interesting. Similarly, you can place calls device to device from the Echo itself or from the Alexa app on your phone. And in case none of you didn't know that, well, now you know. These smart speakers are packed with a little bit more than you might be thinking about. Alright, and with that wraps up this episode of The Latest in Tech News. Thanks for tuning in, guys. New episodes every weekday. So there's going to be no episode tomorrow or Sunday, because obviously it's the weekend, but we'll see you back here on Monday. The Latest in Tech News can be found on every major platform, including Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and more. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, right now would be the perfect time to leave a like on today's episode by leaving a comment. Also, double check that you're subscribed so that you don't miss the next episode. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, and remember, for the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.
It's the weekend!